hard enough getting people to wear a mask for a quick trip to the grocery store. How are we going to get kids to wear them all day, every day at school?
I know there's going to probably be some parents and families that don't want to wear anything at all.
That's Michelle Lamboli from Unit 5. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Denver on Frontier Airlines. The Mile High City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com. This is 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org.
It's Thursday, June 25th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with plans for a new sports complex coming to Normal after plans for a much larger public facility fell through. Eric Stock has more.
Youth soccer leaders in Bloomington Normal have announced plans to build a 100-acre complex in North Normal near Route 66 and Veterans Parkway. This comes months after they are set to lose the soccer fields they've used for years. Jeremy Kelly, secretary for Illinois Fire Juniors, says the club has raised $3.5 million. He says in similar efforts to build soccer facilities over the last decade never got off the ground, seeing specific plans will help encourage more people to donate.
In our fundraising conversations, we've heard people say, is this real? Is this legit? And we're here to say, we have 100 acres of land and the money to get started. This is happening. This is real.
The entire project could cost up to $24 million, depending on fundraising. Kelly says the facility will also accommodate other sports, including lacrosse, cricket, and football. Fundraising co-chair Erica Hunt says the site's multi-use capability is part of the sales pitch.
This provides the opportunity to do much more with that. Reach out and partner with other sports around the community, as well as do a regional center that will attract teams and families and kids from around the Midwest.
Illinois Fire Junior zeroed in on this project after discussions to build a $43 million indoor-outdoor complex fell through. Government officials said the price tag was too steep without substantial private investment. Kelly notes this project will be done with no public money.
While there were some critics on some of the past plans, everybody we've talked to on this plan, we get a lot of head shaking saying, this is great. We understand this is good. And we're ready to move forward. And we think the community is ready to move forward with us.
The club has been exploring playing options as its lease with the Central Illinois Regional Airport to use community fields in Bloomington expires at the end of the year. Kelly says the club plans to ask the Bloomington Normal Airport Authority for a one-year extension. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here's some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. City of Bloomington is now accepting applications for its COVID-19 Direct Aid to Residents program. It can help with rents, mortgage, utilities, health care expenses, and child care. Authorities have identified 57-year-old Richard Gaunt Jr. as the semi-driver who was struck and killed while working on the shoulder of Interstate 74 near Carlock on Tuesday. The pickup driver who hit him faces several citations. And Governor J.B. Pritzker says he is not considering quarantining travelers from certain states. The governors of three northeastern states are imposing two-week quarantines on visitors from states with high coronavirus rates. See more on these stories at WGLT.org. McLean County school districts have a lot of decisions to make now that the state has released its guidelines for reopening. One thing they can't agree on? Requiring kids to wear a mask all day, every day at school is going to be a challenge. While the guidelines generally offer districts some latitude in crafting their own reopening plans, masks will be a must when students return in August, with few exceptions. Laura O'Donnell is an administrator at Stanford-based Olympia School District. She takes over as superintendent July 1st. She says some states are allowing students to remove their masks inside where COVID-19 social distancing is possible.
We were expecting students to wear masks in hallways and on buses and common spaces, but we do have some smaller classrooms with small numbers of students that we could spread out. And we were hopeful that there'd be some leniency in those specific types of situations.
The guidelines say that teachers can opt for a face shield instead of a mask. They also appear to allow certain kids with special needs to use a face shield too, if they simply can't tolerate wearing a face covering. Unit 5 Executive Director of Special Services, Michelle Lamboli, says everyone's going to have to work together to get kids to understand why masks are important.
I know there's going to probably be some parents and families that don't want to wear anything at all, you know, and we're going to have to bridge that. And we have not had a discussion yet about what that would look like if we, you know, have someone refuse. So we've not gotten that far yet.
The state's guidelines were developed by the Board of Education and Department of Public Health. They strongly encourage school districts to provide in-person instruction this fall. But exactly how that will look is still very much TBD. District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley says he was pleased the guidelines offer so much flexibility for remote, in-person, or blended instruction. He says generally, District 87 hopes to have at least all kids through 8th grade in school every day. He says social distancing can help reduce the risk.
In some cases in a classroom, it may mean that we're not going to be able to get 6 feet apart. Maybe it's only 5. So masks are even more important in those environments.
District 87 will ask parents for feedback in a survey going out Monday, June 29th. One option is allowing certain students to learn from home, even while others are at school, even if they're in the same class.
And the good news is that will give parents an option for those who might have a child who has underlying health issue or some member of their household that they're very concerned about sending their child back to school.
Another unknown is how symptom screenings will work. The guidelines require schools to conduct temperature and symptom screenings or require self-certification and verification for all staff, students, and visitors. Here's Laura O'Donnell from Olympia.
On the parent survey, we asked our parents if they would be able and willing to take their children's temperatures every morning before school and basically sign off and certify that they would do that. And over 90% of our parents indicated that that is something that they could and would do.
The others would have to go to the school nurse upon arrival. District 87 is still figuring all that out. Riley says the district has already purchased a bunch of handheld thermometers. Before we let you go, the Not in Our School group is hosting a racial justice rally at 5 o'clock tonight at Maxwell Park. That's it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, with nonstop flights to Denver on Frontier Airlines. The Mile High City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.